Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising. Now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard. How gradually you compromised, how far finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.
Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning, July 31st, 2021. We welcome you folks out there, and then I'll bring the men on. Good morning, men.
Good morning.
And John, we'll ask you to go ahead and start us off with a word of prayer this morning.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, first praising you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you for all of our many blessings, but we also are grateful for the trials and the tribulations and the testing that we're going through right now, that Your word says, refine us into the men and women that you want us to be to serve in your kingdom. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct us. Give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to the things that are going on in the world, especially as the patriarchs of our households, with you as the head and then the husband and the wife and the children. Father, we do ask that order would be restored once again, not only in our homes, but in our country. We ask that you would bring those that can to repentance, Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, that they'd be able to hear and see the truth, and when they do, that they would fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness. We thank you also, Lord, for the opportunity to share the good news, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with those that may have believed a lie, those that are lost in the world, Lord. I thank you for the great numbers that continue to increase of those who are coming to the realization that there's nothing but the blood of Jesus that's going to save us. And the only way to contact that blood is through proper immersion baptism, to go into that watery grave and be born again of the water and the Spirit, clothed with Christ, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and your name entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you for the people locally here that have just contacted me this week that have asked me to teach them about baptism, and Lord willing, to baptize them this weekend. Father, we are at a time where we have to hear you, the Lord. And when we do, we must be obedient, realizing that obedience is a key to this situation, that your word says that when we are come to complete obedience, that you will punish those who hate you and hate your people, the disobedient. But Father, we do cry out for those who were weak, or those who turn to government, God, instead of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for their health and welfare. Father, we know that this science experiment is a plan of the enemy to destroy your people. Father, I also know that you can turn a curse into a blessing, and I believe you will. So I pray that that spirit of humility would just spread throughout the nation, that you would bring those who turn to government, God, to repentance, that they would ask for forgiveness, and that they would understand the critical importance of being baptized for the remission of sin in the name of Jesus Christ. Guide and direct us this morning. Give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to the things that are going on. Show us what's important for your people, the remnant, and how it ties into biblical prophecy. Pray that this broadcast would be a powerful broadcast, that it would go out throughout the airwaves, and that it would irritate the God of this world, Prince of the Air, the demonic forces of hell, and that they would know that there are still a remnant out there that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim, no king but King Jesus. In that name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. You know, one of the things that as you were praying, and I've been thinking about it quite a bit lately, is you remember when Dad did that message on let them be caught in their plots, and then we had a let them be caught in their plots prayer. That was quite some time back, but I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and I've got to find that prayer in those messages, because I think that that's one of the things that we need to say, and we need to pray as an emergency prayer when we see what the enemy is trying to do. Let them be caught in their plots, and you know, just walk in faith that it is a done deal. And I think that you know, there's one of the weapons of warfare that we can use against them. You know, we see so many people, and sometimes it's hard not to get caught up on they're doing this and they're doing that, and you know, they're trying to do this and they're trying to do that. You know, we got to stop and you know, look at who's still in control, and do we still have faith? I had somebody over here the other day, and they just went on and on for 30 minutes. They're going to do this, they're going to do that, we're doomed, it's over, and it's like, okay, then what are you even doing? I mean, if you've lost your faith, then I mean, you know, where are we at?
Give up.
Yeah, and I finally said, I said, well, then you might as well just go outside, put your head over the trash can, and pull the trigger. If you've completely given up, and well, that wouldn't be very good. And I'm like, no, it wouldn't. But you got the same attitude. You've already given up. You've already died. If you have that kind of attitude, you know, I said, I don't know about you, but I said, I'm gonna survive. And they looked at me kind of funny, but you know, we've got to have faith. Don't worry, we press on. And you know, it's you know, I've heard, you know, before, I mean, in the last 2 weeks, I put over 7,000 miles on, and I had 25 people, approximately, I don't know exactly how many people, that told me, oh, you can't travel right now, that there's a lockdown, there's no fuel across Oklahoma, there's no fuel across Kansas, there's no fuel across Nebraska, there's no fuel anywhere, truck stops don't have diesel, and put 7,000 miles on and didn't see one place. We saw one pump that was broken, that that I pulled up to, that was broken, that you couldn't get diesel out of. And you know, well, it, and it's people that are hearing this on the news, and you know, Josh, you witnessed that, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
But it was one of
Jason,
the.
I was.
Go ahead.
Thinking about that, you know, one of the causes of that, and the lack of hope, and only seeing what they're putting out in front of us, and we all find ourselves in times whenever, you know, we are upset, and we might catch ourselves figuring, but the best remedy for that is having a good relationship with God, a close walk with the Lord. And it's hard to do these days with everything going on, and there's so many things pulling your time, but it does. It takes the time. You've got to invest in your relationship with God. You got to come to Him and pray. That's what He wants us to do. He wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. But we got to come to Him, and we got to humble ourselves, and we got to ask Him, you know, and just this old example of the weightlifter. You know, every day you need to be praying for what you consider to be the small things, but it doesn't matter what size they are to God, because He can handle them all. He's in control of all of it. So if we pray every day and we get used to praying, then we grow that relationship, and we grow our strength and our prayer power as well, so that whenever it comes time for you to have a one of those Red Sea predicaments, you've got the faith to stretch your arm out and cry out to heaven. And it comes second nature to you. It's not something you got to learn in the day of distress. I was just thinking about how important that is for us to be, you know, growing ourselves through that daily walk with God in our prayer life.
Yeah, the reason they try to keep us in that constant state of fear is faith cannot be present when fear is present. And unfortunately, there's a whole lot of people, even those who call themselves Christians, who have given in to this state of fear over what man can do to them during with this plandemic, instead of what God can do to them. Fear the one, don't fear the one who can kill you, but fear the one who can cast you into hell after he's killed you.
Yep.
Exactly. Tim, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly, and I think there's just, you know, Bible uses the word alone 106 times, so evidently it's on our mind, you know, that, you know, and I think it all starts out in Genesis 2:18. Lord God said it's not good that man should be alone. We do better when we perceive the help and the power and our friends surrounding us. And I think that when we look at it and understand that, I think we're emboldened and we're empowered when we realize that God is there. God's always with us. And God has given us friends and family and wives and children. And I think it's really interesting that in these times of perdition and oppression that are going on with all this business out there, that there's a mighty awakening going on. I mean, you want to talk about a revival and a call back to God. I think there's all kinds of people that are waking up to their responsibilities at home as far as, you know, God, family, country. So it's a time of encouragement, even though we may not perceive it that way all the time, even though we may feel like we're burdened or whatever. But it's about our perception of our God and His power. So it's an awakening for the old guard as well. We have to, look at it the right way around.
Good point.
Amen. Good morning, guys. Traveling, but in on and being encouraged this morning by you guys talking. And, John, it reminds me of your talk on the Book of Esther. The big thing that comes out is that, perhaps it's this very time that we were made for. I think that's what, who is it, her uncle tells her, that, hey, this might be the time you were put in this position for. And I think that applies to us, that's, this time is the time God has created us with all our trials and tribulations, our teachings, for however many years it's been, for today, to pray for our families and to encourage and lead and guide and direct our families, like you mentioned, Tim, because that's so important. But then also to be that shining light in this dark world, to give others hope, to be able to, as you said, John, to be able to tell others of baptism and introduce them to, the Lord and Savior that they are separated from. And that's why they don't have hope. I'm reminded of the story of Elijah. We read in James that it says he had a spirit like ours, and the natural forces obeyed him, whether it rained or not. And I think we're getting to that time that each and every one of us could be called on for those types of things, to be an example to the lost, to show them that there is still a God in Israel, and to let them know who they are and what they need to do to get back in relationship with Him.
Yeah, we're already in that time. Absolutely. Fulfill the Great Commission. That's our whole purpose. But I believe there's going to be a great, great awakening and a great returning to God with regards to this vaccine, because the enemy has it planned for destruction. Their goal is to reduce the population, just like their Ten Commandments and the Georgia Guidestone, to 100 million people. And I think it's 90. I can't remember. I think it's 100, which is a 90% reduction of the population in the world. And people forget that Deagle report that was out, and it's no longer available. They took it down, but basically said by the year 2025, the population would be reduced to 100 million. So the enemy tells you their plan. But the good news is that I read it just the other day in Psalms 2. It says the enemy makes their plan, but the Lord sits in the heavens and He laughs and He scoffs at them. And I believe He can use this plan that the enemy has for destruction of His people to destroy the evil, wicked, vile seed of Satan, and at the same time, He's going to fulfill Revelation. Oh, that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spew you out. And there'll be a whole lot of people who have given in to acceptance and tolerance of sin and lukewarm churches that will not humble themselves because of pride and will not repent of turning to government God, and likely will die along with the Antichrist.
Yeah, I think so. Exactly, and I think that's right where we're at. One of the things that been thinking a lot about is, this last week with Richard passing away, he was my prayer partner for 20 years. I could pick up the phone day or night and call him, and he would answer the phone and pray. And we did that a lot. Sometimes he'd be calling me, sometimes I'd be calling him. But you have somebody that you do that with for 20 years. And like Josh spoke at the funeral. When he spoke, you listened. And, you know, sometimes he wasn't a man of many words, but he was one of those men that was took his walk with God serious. And when he had something to tell you, you listened up real good. And you lose somebody like that, it is it's kind of a blow. And one of the things that me and Josh talked about as we drove cross country, it's like, you know, it's as the older generation dies off, we got to make sure that we step up to the plate and that we become those guys that you know, answer the phone when somebody needs prayer, that we pray, that we have the wisdom that we need to be able to pass on to the younger ones that are asking questions, that are trying to learn. And you know, sometimes it's not a whole lot of fun getting older, but I guess that's part of growing up. What don't kill you makes you tougher.
One of the things I think is critical, and that I prayed when I got that news, was if you were ever with Brother Rich when we were anointing and praying over people, specifically in Branson and Rocky Mountain Bible camps, you would know and you would understand that he had the gift of knowledge, and that when you were praying over someone, he would get something from the Lord, whether it would be encouragement, whether it would be a rebuke, whether it would be a flat-out condemnation of something that was in their life that they needed to change in order to receive the healing. And that's something that's critical to have in the body. And one of the prayers right after I got that news was, Lord, please transfer that gift of knowledge, of being able to receive the truth from the Holy Spirit in those types of situations. Transfer that, Lord, to someone else in the body so that we don't lose that critical weapon against the enemy.
Amen. It's so important. Well, moving on and going to some current events, there's I seen that the governor up there in Nebraska is shaking, rattling, and rolling there, Tim.
Huh. Yes, sir. We got a press release from Ricketts there talking about the, I think that would be about as close as I've ever seen a politician actually slap the CDC in the face for being a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, it's not easy to impress me in the political arena because you can always count on those people to be kind of, you know, wiggly, wobbly, two-faced, you know, and he took a pretty straight line on that. So we're not going to participate. We don't believe anything they say, and we're going to get on with our lives, and they're going to get out of our way. So, you know, and I think my first response was, thank you, Jesus. I was definitely encouraged about that. So
the wheels are coming off their narrative, and they're being found out, and they're scared to death. They really are at what's going on. But, you know, these are answers to prayers, too. How long have we been praying that things done in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftop? That God would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they'd turn upon one another and devour one another. And now we're at that place where we want righteous judgment, Lord. We want those wicked, vile, evil perpetrators who come only to steal, kill, and destroy, who made a deal with their father, the devil. We want them off the land or under it, period.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You're exactly right, John. I do believe that they are in panic mode. They see that awakening happening, and they can feel the power, you know, of God. So I believe they are pulling out all the stops, trying to make a last stand. And we know what the end's going to be. It's just we hope that all of our people would repent and turn, so that they don't have to be a part of the destruction.
Yeah, I read I read this morning that Nantucket there, Martha's Vineyard, there's a huge outbreak of COVID. But basically, 77% of the people who've tested positive for COVID are vaccinated. And the other thing is,
yeah,
you know, common sense seems to escape people. By their own admittance, they don't know how to test for the Delta variant, right? So they're saying that the Delta variant is the thing that's spreading and that the vaccine doesn't work against the Delta variant, but they don't even have a way to test the Delta variant. You know, that's the stupidity of what's
exactly.
going on in the country.
Well, and they released the study that said that the one that I read said 3/4 of the Delta cases are among the vaccinated, and now they're saying that masks are the answer. Okay, well, yeah, and it, but you can't test for the Delta variant, but 3/4 that you did find were vaccinated with both shots, you know, 100% vaccine protocol. So, I mean, geez, it's just, I mean, they're talking out of both ends. It's, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then the CDC came out and said that the medical institutions and testing facilities should start to veer away from the PCR test and move to new and better testing methods. But yet they're still using the PCR test through the whole thing. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all witchcraft. It's all pharmakia is what it is. Pharmakia, right?
Well, yeah, and I don't claim to be a lab tech or anything else, you know. But my question is if they can't test for the Delta variant, how can they identify it at all? I mean,
exactly.
Isn't this a common? So it exists. Oh, we can see it. We know it exists, but we can't test for it. It's like,
yeah.
Okay. Something there's, you know. Hinky. I think the other thing we're seeing is it's such a Gideon moment. You look at this because, and I realize that there's collateral damage and everything, so, you know, don't jump on me with both feet, but, you know, just like Gideon went in with, and they, the enemy destroyed themselves, I think we're seeing that go on here, with this whole vaccination plot and the face diapers and everything else. I mean, the people that they're actually hurting are mostly people who tend to side with them or think like they do or those, you know, that sort of stuff. I mean, it's like, wow, you guys are basically eating yourself, you know? I mean, and you're turning, it's like it's, God's last call for those people to come out from amongst her. You know, it's like, well, you need to come, you know, because, and there's all these numbers with people getting sick and people dying and all these, and the frustration with people. I mean, you see it on a daily basis. People out here are really upset. I mean, I've never seen the amount of kickback, pushback, and sheer frustration with, you know, the overreach and stuff that's going on here. And that's a good thing. It's waking people up in droves, you know. And in the meantime, they're destroying their own, the ones who rush to them to do that. So it kind of looks like the Gideon story to me, you know. I mean, you said smoke and mirrors. Maybe it's lamps and pot, you know. But anyways, it's happening right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, it is.
I'm grateful. It sure is. If you look at, it reminds me of what you were talking about, John, Pastor Peter's message. He has a CD, or we have a CD on it, as well as the pamphlet, A Double-Minded People. And it's, and that's exactly what, you know, what we're talking about here. The people have been told, oh, the Delta variant is, it transmits more. I heard that on NPR on the way to my on my trip. It's transmittable a lot more. It's a lot more severe, on and on and on. But then you hear another article. Yeah, they can't really test for it. The vaccine doesn't work against it, blah, blah, blah. And they're telling people two opposite things. And the people are, many are accepting those two opposites. And it puts them in a spell. It drives them to inaction. And that's what they want, because then they're easily influenced, they're fearful, and their emotions take over. So, Remnant, if you're not familiar with that booklet, A Double-Minded People, contact us at the ministry. We'll send it to you. It does such a great job of explaining really that position that we're in today with this COVID farce. I can tell you about traveling.
Don't believe the truth. I will send upon the people a strong deluding influence, and we're there.
Yes.
I'm thankful that God revealed to us early on the plot of the enemy with regards to the vaccine, and this ministry for, I suppose, 8 months or so has been preaching against it, 100% against it. And, you know, you got people like Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, who come out and said that everybody needs to be vaccinated, that Jesus Christ himself would be vaccinated. And you got, even this week, I believe, Sean Hannity, you know, people who look at him as a conservative, especially after, or leader, especially after Rush Limbaugh passed. And he was saying that everybody needs to get vaccinated. But yet every day, they're proving more and more that this stuff's deadly. You know, the report we did and a message about the graphene oxide, it's absolutely 100% true. And it is activated by 5G. And I read an article just early this morning, and it's really concerning. But basically, they're saying that they're doing autopsies on these people who are dying. And every one of their organs has spike proteins in it. Well, why do you think that is? Because number one, you're injecting something foreign into the body, something poisonous. And then the greatest defense in the history of the world is the immune system that God created in each and every one of us. And our immune system does everything it can to contradict and to contain the poison that you willingly put into yourself.
Yep.
And what it does is it envelops it and it cocoons around the poison. But that also causes blood clots, because anything that's a restriction in your blood flow is called a blood clot. So, you know, right now, you don't have that much time to repent and to humble yourself and ask God for forgiveness and contact the blood of Jesus, because it's nothing but the blood of Jesus that's going to save you, period.
Yeah, it's... That's where we're at. The lines are being drawn in the sand, that's for sure. You know, this week it was...
And John, to your point, and also Richard as well, going back to Mr. Richard, that discernment is so important. And I've come to the conclusion that the vast majority of these talking faces, whether it be, you know, on the radio or on TV or whatever, they are our enemies. They're not our people. They're not our friends. And so we need to, anybody that we listen to, including myself or you, John, when you say something, we need to look at what's being said and say, okay, well, does that line up with Scripture? And
that's right.
Is it right?
Don't believe
the way everyone, so that we will have that discernment and be able to identify our enemies and don't make excuses for people. Whenever you see somebody doing and it's not right, you recognize it's not right, and you don't make excuses for it.
Yeah, you might turn your mic up a little bit, Jason. I don't think we can hear you that well. It's probably why I don't think Josh heard you starting to speak.
Oh, okay. All right. I will try to make it up just a little bit louder. Yeah, this last week was one of the things that was kind of interesting, too. I don't know if anybody saw it, but it was a picture of the Democratic Texas state legislators, and they were slammed on social media for a photo of them all sitting together on a flight to Washington, D.C., and they were on their way out there to block a Republican voting bill. And they all got on the airplane. They all took off their masks. They all were sitting side by side. And it came out. It says, "Rules for thee, but not for me." And hey, TSA, if these Democrat lawmakers are allowed to fly without masks, so should American people. And it was actually pretty funny. But it shows you how they are and what they do. They want to have rules for us, but don't play by their own rules.
Yeah, the funny thing,
making sure.
A bunch of them come down.
COVID. Yeah, that's true. And that, I think that ties in with like you said earlier, that it's those that, they dig their own pit and they're going to fall in their own pit. Cause I can tell you, we just made a quick flight and we'll be flying back tonight. And, they basically tell you, wear your mask or we're kicking you off the plane. I mean, they make jokes of it and make light of it, but they're walking up and down the aisle. So, sir, you need your mask on, please. Sir, make sure your nose is covered. Sir, you know, it's just, it's that mother hen mentality.
And, you know, we've seen things in the news where they do that. They kick people off planes because they're making that line in the sand bigger and wider, and people are waking up to it. I saw that, Jason. I bet I had five people send me that picture and say that very thing, that, you know, look what they do, but they don't want you to do it. And more and more people are waking up to that distinction, that it's not that these people care about us. It's that they are self-centered and they care about them and the destruction of America, and they don't. It's lawlessness. They don't follow, not to get into law, we understand that, but not that they make law, but they don't follow the same rules. And that's becoming more and more evident.
Yeah, did you guys hear about the congressional walkout yesterday? And Pelosi filing the arrest the Congress members or the aides over not wearing a mask up there. Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's like 50 of them, I think.
Yeah, 50 of them walked over to the Senate hall. The Senate, where there is no mask mandate, legally the members of Congress there's a moratorium on arrest for them. They can't be arrested for normal things that are what we would consider just a crime.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yes. Yeah. But she's trying to take that away too. You know, it's like, hey, if you guys don't want to play ball with us, you don't want to be part of this, you know, we'll arrest you. If we can't arrest you, we'll arrest your aides and leave you with no help, you know. And there's a huge stink up there over that. But, you know, that division is beginning to show. And that's that confusion that we've been praying in the ranks of people up there.
something other significant happened yesterday that not a lot of people saw, but Matt Gaetz from Florida, representative from Florida, he went on the House floor and he said that publicly and openly that he believes January 6th was orchestrated by the federal government on the House floor publicly. So that's significant if you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
Talking about the insurrection, supposedly insurrection without any weapons, on January 6th, was perpetrated by the federal government, and they're demanding that like 14,000 hours of video, because you know that place has got more cameras probably than any place on the face of the earth.
Yeah,
I remember seeing some of the. Yeah, I remember seeing some of the early videos of the Capitol Police opening barriers and waving people in.
I mean, I remember seeing that, you know, right after, right there on the 6th and the 7th. And
they got videos of people dressed in black with helmets breaking the windows and pulling down the barriers and all that. So, I mean, but the FBI is, let's face it, it's totally gone the way of the dark side. And they won't even look at that footage or prosecute those people. But, yeah, you got people who are just there protesting the false election, patriots, mostly God-fearing people, over a million. You got 500 or so that are still in jail that aren't even being charged. And now the DA for the federal government in the case is saying that they probably won't have the charges ready for trial until early 2022. So literally a year in jail as an American citizen with no representation and being tried as basically an enemy combatant or a terrorist.
Terrorist, I think, is what they'll use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, you look at one of the real problems that we're seeing across this country, too, is, you know, as we put an awful lot of miles on here, but their labor shortages. I mean, I'll tell you what, just about everywhere you go, they had help wanted signs up all over the place, and people not wanting to work. They had several restaurants, several businesses that were shut down just basically because they couldn't get any help. And that was, you know, one of the small towns that we stayed up in northern Nebraska, up by the South Dakota border. It was a town that used to have four really good restaurants, a cafe. And when I was talking with the lady at the hotel, she said that there was the one restaurant was open. One of them was open part time. Everything else was shut down. The cafes were shut down. The coffee shop was shut down. And basically, it's because they couldn't get anybody to work.
Yeah. Yeah, we went to a local racetrack here in town, or just outside of town, sprint cars and things like that, and they got the announcer got on, and because the lines and the concessions are just, you know, forever, and he says, well, we apologize, folks, for the long lines and the concessions, and he said, we just can't get anybody to work. We're doing best we can just to keep this place open and to give you people, you know, the opportunity to see an American sport racing. And but yeah, it's an epidemic, and they've created it. You know, the reality was they wanted $15 an hour wages, right? And that didn't fly. So what did they do? They basically are creating the $15 wage, because in order to get anybody to work, you got to pay them more than the government's paying them to stay home.
Yep. What's going on in your neck of the woods there, Josh?
What was that, Jake?
What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, just like what you're saying, you know, the same here. Just a workforce shortage, and we went shopping last night, and you know, you can definitely tell that they're hitting as much on the shelves as what they used to be, and I don't know what exactly what it is or what the cause is, but there's quite a few sick folks around right now. It seems like maybe more than normal in the summertime. And it's interesting because I know several people myself that are fully vaccinated and, you know, the whole nine yards and believed in it. And lo and behold, they got COVID now. And they're quarantined, that they can still spread it, and so
they're super spreaders.
Yeah,
that's what they are.
Yep.
But you know, once again, there's so many people that are looking at this and they're saying, okay, well, that's a bunch of bull. You know, I think Louisiana's just over a third. One third vaccinated, and that's after they have done all the fear-mongering they can. They've threatened people. They're now offering to pay people to go get vaccinated, and there's still two thirds of our population that said, I ain't gonna do it.
And, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's
you know, the reality is that the numbers came out, and 50% of the people in this country have said no, period. And the reason that they got rid of the mask mandate was to try to coax people into getting vaccinated. Basically, the original ploy was, well, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And a lot of people fell for that stupid lie and went and got vaccinated just so they don't have to wear a mask. Well, now they realize that they got all of those idiots. So now it's back to Orwellian type controls. You know, and a lot of this, too, is setting up for the 2022 midterm elections, that COVID will be out and you can't go and vote and it'll have to be mail, you know, cheap by mail. And so the enemy is, they think that they're wise, but fortunately, God's given some of us eyes to see and ears to hear and a voice to share the truth.
Well, that's the thing, we got to keep them that. You know, God don't get any glory out of a fair fight. That's not the way he works time and time again in the Bible. You know, his people have been backed into a place, and it's been one on 500 or 1,000 or a position where the Red Sea had to be parted. You know, so even though things look like it's bleak and it's all going their way, that's right where God wants it. And that's what it takes to, sometimes to get our disconnected people to turn back to him and to contact that blood. That's going to be our only salvation, and we know it. And that's not just in heaven, but here on earth also. That
He is our Savior, and it is by the blood that we are saved.
Amen.
Yeah, you have a Savior because you need saving. So, good point.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, I keep thinking that, are we in a similar situation as Exodus in our Bible study? We've been studying Exodus. It took us a year probably to get through Genesis because we get through, I don't know, maybe a chapter a week, if that. But are we witnessing the same scenario? Are we witnessing the plague up until the Red Sea predicament and deliverance of his people? I kind of believe we are. You know, there's each day there seems to be a new version of the plague. You know, look at California. California is facing wildfires, drought, grasshopper plague, famine, you know, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Alaska just had a huge earthquake, 8.2, right outside of Kodiak. That's a big earthquake. That can create a huge tsunami. In fact, I guess a small one hit Hawaii from that. So, you know, these are the birth pangs that grow closer to closer and get more intense and more intense as time goes on, which is just God warning his people that, look, I'm doing everything I can. I'm not slow as the world counts slow, but I hope for all of my people to come to repentance. You know, he doesn't want to destroy his people. He wants them to wake up and to turn back to him in repentance.
Yeah, there's a crossroads going on right now, and that's the thing that is interesting to me. We're at that crossroads. And, you know, I can remember years ago hearing speakers from then Soviet Union and other communist regimes, and they said that the first thing it all started with was shortage, you know. And that's in direct contrast to God's way. God says, it'll be bountiful harvest. You'll have, I'll feed you with the fat of the land. The land flows with milk and honey. And the liberal, satanic, antichrist way is that, well, you'll have shortages on everything, but the government will save you. We're kind of at that crossroads right now where we see, choose which way you want to go. You know, I mean, when we look at all those choices that are there, I think it's interesting that Biden was talking about yesterday on that thing about the military, mandatory things in the military, and it's like that's some more of that confusion that I was talking about earlier, because it's like 82% or 80-some percent, I don't remember the exact amount, of the military refused the COVID vaccine. You know, so to me, that seems like you're kind of tackling a bad situation there. But it's like they just are lined up for their own destruction. I mean, they can't wait to get rolling on it. You look at it and say, yeah.
The ones in positions of authority are good soldiers of Satan. That's the reality. They made a deal with the devil. They can't inherit the kingdom of God, so they do all that they can to try to win favor with the God of this world.
Yep.
Yeah, it's exciting.
You know,
times,
Sarah, I mentioned about being a that God provides a bountiful harvest, there are those shortages out, but I think when people look to one another, certainly through God's eyes and with His blessings, like when the stores were saying, oh, they don't have beef, and beef prices were going up and stuff. The producers, the people that are raising beef, they had a voice and said, no, wait a minute, there's plenty of beef out there. It might take a little bit to get it processed, but there's plenty of beef. And I've been to a couple of the farmers markets the last few weeks, and individuals are there with eggs and live chickens and, beef jerky and beef sticks and their own home process stuff like that. And I think we're going to see more and more of that. That is, the government says, oh no, this stuff is not available. You can't get it for whatever reason they come up with. That I think people are being are, you know, at least some are being led by God to like we talked about, to, you know, have gardens and to raise livestock and do things like that. And then they're having a bountiful harvest and sharing it with others, or at least making it available to others. And that, you know, blesses all that are involved. And that's how it should be. Without that USDA, without that government middleman. And, you know, before World War II, I think the U.S. was, what, 65% agricultural? And there's certainly a movement heading back that way, from home farms to regenerative agriculture. It's out of necessity, but I think it is happening with the blessings of God. It's that, you know, that one here and two there that are seeing it and that are doing it, and that's a blessing to many.
What's interesting is the miscalculation of the enemy, I think, is I read the other day that they're paying farmers like $600 more an acre just to go in and clear cut it because of the emissions it would create by harvesting and this and that, whatever they can come up with, the EPA BS. But, you know, those are our people, because the Bible's clear that the Canaanites cannot grow food. They cannot use their hands. They're not given gifts and skills to work in with their hands. So those are our people. And we're either going to be whores galore in America, which is another great series Pastor Peters did, or our people are going to say, no, we don't care about your extra $600 an acre. We're going to still continue to produce the food that the people need to survive. And I honestly believe that that's where we're at. That's, and our people who are in those positions, I don't think they will whore themselves just for that extra filthy lucre.
Richard, but, you know, I see what you're talking about here all over, and not just the benefits of the production and having the sustenance and the health benefits that come along with it, but it's also a mindset change that whenever you see that, kind of breaking that spell, you know, you don't need that Walmart to get your eggs, and, you know, God provides for us, and there's a freedom that comes along with that. Just another small part of the puzzle of people breaking free from the captivity.
Amen. And it's not all financial. You know, if you have chickens at home and you raise eggs, those at times those can be the most expensive eggs you'll ever see. Believe me, we've done it for the last 30 years on and off. But that's just if you look at dollars and cents. You know, by the time you buy their feed and then you lose some and you have to buy more, and it is, but like you said, Josh, there's more to it. There's a mindset that, hey, we can do this. And gardening is the same way. Raising beef, raising chickens is the same way. And it is. You're seeing, and you're not going to see everybody do it, but you see a few, and then it catches on. I've got some neighbors that are just building a house, and they're putting in for like a 30 by 60 hoop house is their plan for next year. Not a little garden, but a big garden, a big hoop house. And we're seeing that all over. You see that, you drive down in your neck of the woods, Jason, and they're all over. And I'm seeing them more and more in Wyoming and everywhere you go, it is. It's good to see that, because at least to some things, those people are starting to wake up.
Yeah, we better invite people to church, but running out of time.
Yeah, folks, if you'd like to join us for church, go to www.scriptures4america.org, and you can join us live through audio or video streaming there on the website. Encourage you to join us. You can come in the privacy of your own home, and we won't tell anybody you're there. So do encourage you to come and join us. I know that we're going to have a fantastic Timeless Pulpit Truth message and a live service. John, I think you're doing live service tomorrow, aren't you?
Yep.
That's the plan. So, folks, go to www.scriptures4america.org, or however you're tuning in. If you're listening in on one of the players or the shortwave radio, you can tune in there as well. And we sure do appreciate you joining us here this morning for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And I guess with that, we'll any men have you guys men have any closing thoughts that you want to go out with? We got about 2 minutes left.
Repent or perish.
And nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yep, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns and the Greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew the strength and courage from his power upon high and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround us holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king,